Morning. Let's turn our Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 30. Then it happened, when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had made a raid on the Negev and on Ziklag, and had overthrown Ziklag and burned it with fire. And they took captive the women and all who were in it, both small and great, without killing anyone, carried them off and went their way. When David and his men came to the city, behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted their voices and wept until there was no strength in them to weep. Now David's two wives had been taken captive, Ahinoam the Jezreelite and Abigail, the widow of Nabal the Carmelite. Moreover, David was greatly distressed because the people spoke of stoning him, for all the people were embittered, each one because of his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Then David said to Abiathar the priest, the son of Ahimelech, please bring me the ephod. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this band? Shall I overtake them? And he said to him, pursue, for you will surely overtake them, and you will surely rescue all. So David went, he and the 600 men who were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those left behind remained. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 were too exhausted, for 200 who were too exhausted to cross the brook Besor remained behind. Now they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David and gave him bread, and he ate, and they provided him water to drink. They gave him a piece of fig cake and two clusters of raisins, and he ate. Then his spirit revived, for he had not eaten bread or drunk water for 3 days and three nights. David said to him, to whom do you belong, and where are you from? And he said, I am a young man of Egypt, a servant of an Amalekite. And my master left me behind when I fell sick 3 days ago. We made a raid on the Negev of the Cherethites, and on that which belongs to Judah, and on the Negev of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire. Then David said to him, will you bring me down to this band? And he said, swear to me by God that you will not kill me or deliver me into the hands of my master, and I'll bring you down this band, to this band. When he had brought him down, behold, they were spread over all the land, eating and drinking and dancing because of all the great spoil that they had taken from the land of the Philistines and from the land of Judah. David slaughtered them from the twilight until the evening of the next day, and not a man of them escaped, except 400 young men who rode on camels and fled. So David recovered all that the Amalekites had taken and rescued his two wives, but nothing of theirs was missing, whether small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything that they had taken for themselves. David brought it all back. So David had captured all the sheep and the cattle, which the people drove ahead of the other livestock, and they said, this is David's spoil. When David came to the 200 men who were too exhausted to follow David, who had also been left at the brook Besor, and they went out to meet David and to meet the people who were with him, then David approached the people and greeted them. Then all the wicked and worthless men among those who went with David said, because they did not go with us, we will not give them any of the spoil that we have recovered, except to every man his wife and his children, that they may lead them away and depart. Then David said, you must not do so, my brothers, with what the Lord has given us, who has kept us and delivered us, or delivered into our hands the band that came against us. And who will listen to you in this matter? For as his share is who goes down to the battle, so shall his share be who stays by the baggage. They shall share alike. So it has been from that day forward that he made it a statute and an ordinance for Israel to this day. Now when David came to Ziklag, he sent some of the spoil to the elders of Judah, to his friends, saying, "Behold, a gift for you from the spoil of the enemies of the Lord. To those who are in Bethel, and those who are in Ramoth of the Negev, and to those who are in Jatir, and to those who are in Aror, and to those who are in Sifmoth, and to those who are in Estemoah, and to those who are in Rakal, and to those who are in the cities of Jeremielite, and to those who are in the cities of Kenites, and to those who are in Hormah, and to those who are in Borashan, and to those who are in Atak, and to those who are in Hebron, and to all the places where David himself and his men were accustomed to go." Let's pray together. God, thank you for this day. And thank you for this morning that we can come before you. We thank you that your presence is here. And we just pray that you will come and just speak to us, God, through this passage. And thank you for giving us this chance to come before you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I just want to give a quick background information on what's going on here. So this is David, and there are 600 men that are kind of following David around at this time. And these 600 men actually come from chapter 22. So if we can turn to 22. Chapter 22 is when David finally realizes that King Saul is about to kill him. So he realizes, man, I need to run away from this guy. So he runs away, escapes into the wilderness. And so in 22 verse 1 it says, "So David departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brothers and all his father's household heard of it, they went down there to him." And it says in verse 2, "Everyone who was in distress and everyone who was in debt and everyone who was discontented gathered to him, and he became captain over them. Now there were about 400 men with him." So it begins with that. All these men that were basically kind of the outcasts of society. They were in distress. They were in debt. They had not a lot of things going for them. And maybe they also felt like they didn't belong. And so they hear about this David. David had already made a name for himself because he had killed Goliath. And he had been a warrior, but now he's run away. So they hear about him, and they go, and they kind of basically follow him. They become his followers. And eventually, the number grows from 400 to 600, what we see now. And these are the mighty men of David that we see in 2 Samuel 23. There's a long list of people that really did amazing things for David and for Israel. And these are the guys that sacrificed, or they risked their lives to go into enemy camp so that David could have a drink of water, right? These men were very loyal and very powerful and mighty warriors that kind of came out of this time that they had with David in the wilderness, in the cave. And so what we see in chapter 30 is this is still, David is still running away from Saul. And I think in chapter 27... Chapter 27 is when David decides, because he realizes King Saul is going to continue to hunt for him. He says, "I better go down and go into enemy land." So he goes down to the land of the Philistines, which is really, they're the enemies of Israel at this time. So, and he goes down there with all his 600 men, and he basically says to the king at the time, he says, "I'm just going to serve you. Let me stay here. I'm not going to fight for Israel anymore." And he does all these raids against Israel while he's in the land of Philistine to basically, I guess, build up the king of the Philistines. So eventually he gains a lot of trust, and he kind of earns his place in the land of the Philistines. And here at this time, what's happening is the Philistines have drawn up for battle against Israel. And it's a tense moment. And King Achish, that's the king of Philistines at this time, he says to David, "Hey, I trust you fully. You have been so good to me so far, and I have trusted you, and you've done all these raids, and you've been such a mighty warrior. I want you to come to battle with me." And David says, "Hey, no worries. You know my heart is for you. I don't even ever have to go back to Israel. I'm going to fight for you. I'm going to be with you." So he goes up to battle with the Philistines against Israel. But while he's there, they've drawn up for battle. One quick thing. The place that David and his men were living amongst the Philistines was called Ziklag. So that's where they were. And they go out to where the battle is held. And they're lined up for battle, but the Philistine commanders of the army, they see David, and they realize this guy is an Israelite. This guy is a Hebrew, and we've heard of this guy. This is the guy that destroyed Goliath. So they say to King Achish, like, what are you doing? How can you bring this guy into battle that he's going to betray us? I mean, the perfect way for David to earn Saul's trust would be to destroy our men during this battle. So they say no. So King Achish says to David, hey, my men can't trust you. Even though I trust you, I think you can't join us in this fight. So you need to go back to where you came from. Then David's like, you know, he's a little hurt. He sounds a little hurt. He's like, I can't believe you can't trust me. But whatever, I mean, your men can't trust me, so I'm going to go back. And that's when we start at chapter 30, and these men, David and his 600 men, are coming back to Ziklag. And when they come back, what they find is that these Amalekites, while David and his men were gone to draw for battle, the Amalekite raiding band had come through the land where they were, where their families and all that stuff were. And they took all their wives, their children, all the livestock and everything that they had, and they burned everything. And this is where we come to. So I kind of want to start from there, and I think I just have 4 points that I just want to briefly talk about with us as we think about this passage. The first part is back in chapter 22, when we read about these men, right? These men that were in distress, and they were in great debt, and they just weren't doing well. They were a social outcast. You know, they definitely would not have been considered mighty men at this time, mighty warriors. But they come to David, and through their life with David and spending time with him, something happens. Inspiration and transformation happens in their lives. And the point that I want to draw out for us from here is David in this passage serves as a type of Christ. You know, he draws a picture for us of what Christ does with us. And all of us, we are also like these men that went to David in distress. And we go to Jesus, we don't have much to bring. You know, we all come to him because of our distress, and there's something's going on with us where there's dissatisfaction, and we know that there is something that is lacking. And we go to Jesus, and Jesus meets with us, and it transforms us. This is just a real passage, a real idea of hope and encouragement. I think we should always be so filled with hope when we bring our situations to Jesus, or when we're praying for our friends that are in a dire situation, or who are engaging in some kind of ministry and things are difficult. These men come from a very difficult background, in distress, in discontentment, in debt, but there is a great transformation that happens to form them into these mighty men of God. And what I feel like God is saying to us is that it's the same with God. We bring to him our discontentment, and we come to him in situations of distress. We come to him in our difficulty, and we can always have so much hope that he's going to turn things around. And he's going to bring his transformation. He's going to bring his life. He's going to do something that only he can do to really change the situation and bring about this breakthrough. So that's the first thing I want us to kind of think about as we read this passage. And when we come to chapter 30, so David and his men, they come back to the land, and everything has been taken captive, and they're in great distress. So I want us to go to verse 6. Moreover, David was greatly distressed because the people spoke of stoning him, for all the people were embittered, each one because of his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Here, the idea is Number one, I mean, it's okay for us as we engage in our Christian journey with God, as we try to do ministry and as we try to live for the Lord, there are going to be times where we're going to be distressed. You know, there's going to be times we're going to be discouraged. And there's going to be times when maybe the people that we're trying to lead or the situation that we're trying to bring improvement for doesn't happen and things go awry. But our response needs to be not one of discouragement. We can't stay in that place. You know, as Christians, God calls us to do great things, right? God calls, He's not going to just leave us be. He's always going to call us to do something for His kingdom, to build His kingdom, to engage in ministry and to whatever in whatever way He wants us to be involved in bringing the kingdom of God and the love of God to the people around us. But the response from the people might not always be positive. But we can't just stay in the place of discouragement and say, oh, woe is me, like nothing is working out for me. But we see this great example of what David has done. And he says he strengthened himself in the Lord. And we all need to be at a place in our relationship with God where we can draw our strength from Him. I think there are times that will come. There's an earlier passage, a few chapters earlier, where David's in great distress. And this time it says Jonathan came. And Jonathan helped David find strength in the Lord. So that's something that happens in our Christian journey as well, right? Sometimes we need people in our lives that can come to us and really help us. And that's how house church is for. That's what church is for. Accountability brothers are for. But sometimes there are times where they are not available or they're not able to give us that strength. But we can't just rely on people outside to give us the strength. We can't rely on our house church leader or our accountability brothers or sisters or our pastor, but we have to find strength in the Lord directly. And I mean, David's in a place where things are really bad. I mean, his 600 men that were his loyal followers up to now, because of all the distress and the anger and the bitterness, they're ready to destroy their leader. I mean, I can't imagine how difficult that must be for David. But he doesn't listen to the voices of man, you know? He's not into fear of man. He doesn't make his decisions based on what men are saying and what people are saying around him. That's what King Saul does, and that's what always gets King Saul in trouble. Because he always listens to what people say. And he's always so affected by people's opinion. And he's so afraid that people are going to desert him and leave him. So King Saul keeps making decisions based on what people are going to say. But David doesn't do that. David doesn't listen to them. Even though they're there, it's David inquires of the Lord. He finds strength in the Lord. In the very next verse, he says to Abiathar the priest, and he says, bring me the ephod, and he's going to inquire of the Lord what he should do. I mean, the men are already tired. It says in verse 4 that they had no strength left in them because they had been weeping. I mean, imagine they're out in battle, but they get turned around. Who knows how long the journey is for them to come back to the land. And as they come back, they find their everything taken away. So they're weeping and crying out to the Lord. They're already exhausted. But at that point, David doesn't look at the man, the situation, and make his decision based on that. He inquires of the Lord, finds strength in God, and the Lord says to go, right? The Lord says, go, and I will give you this band. You will overtake them and you will rescue all. So the second point here is finding our strength in the Lord. We all need to be at that place where we can do that. But the third point here is when God's promise comes, right? Because God's promise is here. He says, pursue, for you will surely overtake them and you will surely rescue all. That's verse 8. When God's promise comes, we still have to respond. Even though God's desire is for the wives and the children to be rescued, it still requires David to go out into battle and actually fight and bring them back. You know, sometimes as Christians, we can be a little passive, you know. We pray to the Lord and we feel like God says, oh, so-and-so is going to be saved, or so-and-so is going to happen, or this breakthrough is going to happen in house church, or whatever the situation is. And we sometimes just, like, we receive the promise, but we don't act upon it. You know, we then just say, oh, cool. Like, breakthrough is coming. And I don't know, we just get relaxed and we kind of think like, oh, that's all that we need. But no, the battle comes after the promise. So the promise is almost like a reassurance to say, you're not going to fail, so you need to go for it. You know, you're not going to fail as a house church leader. You're not going to fail as a leader of this ministry or that ministry. So therefore, like, just go for it, you know, like, give it all you've got. And do the things that you need to do. It's like the promise of God that comes is for the sake of strengthening us and reassuring us so that we can actually do the part that we need to do. I think it's important, you know, because David and his men are tired. They're still very, very tired, just as exhausted as they were before the word of the Lord came. And they can easily say, I know God's going to deliver us, but we're too tired. This is too difficult for me, and I can't do it. But that's not David's response, right? He still goes, and he receives the word, and believes in that word, and then he uses that to go out and fight the fight. And so I want to encourage us with that too, you know? As God gives us promises and fills us with faith and hope for what he's going to do, we still need to work hard. You know, it's not just a thing where God says it and then we don't have to do anything. We still have to do our part and work hard to partner with him in what he wants to do. And so they go, and it says, by the brook of Besor, 200 men were too exhausted to cross, so they get left behind, and David takes the 400 men, and they go and cross the brook, and they find the band of Amalekites that had taken everything, and they destroy them, they bring everything back, and then there is tension here. Tension in verse 21, right? David came to the 200 men who were too exhausted to follow David, who had also been left at the brook Besor, and they went out to meet David and to meet the people who were with him, and then David approached the people and greeted them. Then all the wicked and worthless men among those who went with David said, because they did not go with us, we will not give them any of the spoil that we have recovered, except to every man, his wife and his children, that they may lead them away and depart. Then David said, you must not do so, my brothers, with what the Lord has given us, who has kept us and delivered into our hands the band that came against us. And who will listen to you in this matter? For as his share is who goes down to the battle, so shall his share be who stays by the baggage. They shall all share alike. You know, there's tension. I mean, when I was reading this, I just read this yesterday. When I was reading it, I was like, oh, these 200 men, what's going to happen to them? Because part of me is like, these guys are losers. I mean, everyone's exhausted. And what gives them the right to stay behind and the 400 men have to go and do this battle? But then another part of me is like, I don't know what David's going to do, you know, because he's a man of grace and honor. And, you know, and I thought maybe the godly thing to do would be to include them in the spoil. And I was wondering what was going to happen. And, you know, that's what happens. You know, David's man of grace. And there are these worthless men, wicked men, that come up to David and say, hey, these men didn't go with us. They don't deserve it. You know, let's just give them their wives and children, but we're not going to give them anything that we've taken. But David says, you must not do so. And I guess the principle that I want to draw from here for us is I just want to speak against spiritual pride. Sometimes we find in the church. It happens at SP too sometimes, right? Like some of us, just a silly example would be some of us go to the retreat, you know, and it's powerful, it's an amazing time, and you know, PSAM's like, you got to come to the retreat. Most of us go to the retreat. There's a few people, though, at church that don't go to the retreat. And oftentimes, it's subtle, but what happens with those that went to the retreat, we can have this spiritual pride, like, oh, like, what's wrong with those guys? Like, they're not committed to SP. There's something wrong with them, and they're just not part of what we're doing, and we can have that kind of an attitude. I mean, I don't know if it happens to you guys, but maybe some people that come to EMP might have spiritual pride. You know, like, I make it to early morning prayer, and I pray to the Lord once a week or twice a week. And then we look at others that don't come, and we say, they don't deserve our prayer. They don't deserve whatever, God's blessing or something. And I just want to speak against that. When David here tells his men that went with him, he says, you must not do so. He's not just being a nice guy. Like, he's not like, I just feel bad for the 200. So, come on, guys. Let's give them the spoil and, just help them out. But David gives the reason. He's not just kind of feeling bad for them, but he gives a justification for why he says, No, we can't do that. We must share this thing. And his justification is here in verse 23. We can't do that with what the Lord has given us. The Lord has kept us, and the Lord has delivered into our hand the band that came against us. And that's the reason why this share must be shared. So he's saying, you know what? The only reason why we could have overcome this band is because the Lord has given them to our hand. Because the Lord delivered us. He is the one that kept us, and it's what the Lord has given to us. And that's why you can't have spiritual pride. And in the same way, in our Christian walk, don't think that it is because you are holier or you did more or you just deserve it more because you came out to EMP or because you came out to the retreat or something. But we need to have this attitude that says, oh no, it's all by the grace of God. I mean, if it was left up to me, there's no way I would be a Christian. I wouldn't even be a Christian. I wouldn't even have a relationship with God. I wouldn't even have this revelation of who God is and this longing, right? P. Sam says two pearls that God gives to the church is the ability to feel and receive God's affection for us and a passion for himself. This passion that we have for Christ is not something that we did anything to like come up with. It was a grace of God that came to us, and God has helped us to have this passion for himself and to have this longing to go to church and be part of the church. And then we don't know, I mean, we have no idea what's going on with those people that maybe don't come out to the retreat or can't come out to EMP, and they're going through times and situations that are exhausting and it's tiring. And it's like, hey, because we have been shown complete and amazing, utter grace from the Lord, we must do the same with those people that maybe couldn't be or do the same with us. And you know, the same thing happens, and I would say the same thing to this camp, like the ones that don't come to the retreat, that don't come to EMP or something, because that group, sometimes it's also like they have spiritual pride in themselves, and they're like, oh, the rest of SP is too sheep mentality, and they just follow everything, and they do everything. And then they have spiritual pride about that too. And then they have to also realize, oh, maybe the special or different or unique revelation that I have is also from God's grace, and you can't do, have that same kind of attitude towards them either. So, I mean, it works both ways. But I just want to speak against that in our church. I mean, I don't think we should have that kind of attitude as a church where we have this division mentality. I mean, God calls them wicked and worthless men. I mean, if you want to be a wicked and worthless person, I think go ahead and have this attitude and spread this kind of attitude around and say, yeah, so-and-so is stupid and bring judgment and all that stuff. But that's not God's heart, you know? God's heart and our heart, the heart that we need to have and the heart that David had, was he recognized, oh man, the only reason why, you know, I'm where I am now is by the grace of God. And therefore, I'm going to extend that grace to others. So, I have four kind of simple points that was drawn out of this passage. First is just having hope in the Lord. These men that came to God and to David in distress, they were transformed. And God does that with us. We come to God with our distress, with our discontentment, with our situations, and God will bring something amazing. Second thing is finding strength in the Lord. We need to do that. We need to be at a place where when we're in distress, when we're discouraged and things are not going as what we had hoped for, that we don't listen to what men are saying, but we listen to what God is saying. We find our strength in the Lord. The third thing is we need to still do our part. We can't just sit and relax and just expect this Christian life to be all hunky-dory and easy. We need to be sometimes we need to really work hard and do what we need to do. And the last thing is just against spiritual pride as a church. So let's guard that. Let's worship. Jackie's going to come and lead us in a song. And let's just go before the Lord. Holy Spirit, I thank you for this time. I just pray that you will speak to us. I don't know which point speaks to to the people here, but whatever point you're highlighting, God, I pray that you would come, Holy Spirit, in your grace, in your love, and just kind of speak to us, God, and encourage us in this area and convict us in these areas, God. And as we sing this song, God, we want to just worship you and lift up your name, but also we pray that we will be able to hear from you in this time. Thank you, Lord.
Dance over me while I am unaware. You sing all around, but I never hear the sound. Lord, I'm amazed by you, Lord, I'm amazed by you, Lord, I'm amazed by you, how you love me, Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. How you love me. You dance over me while sing all around, but I never hear the sound. Lord, I'm amazed by you. is your love for me. How wide, how deep, and how great is your love for me. And Lord, I'm by you, Lord, I'm amazed by you, and Lord, I'm amazed by you, how you love me, and Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. How you love me.
Yes, God, thank you for your love. Thank you that your love is, you know, the same for everybody, God. Whether we are weak and exhausted and we feel like we can't give it all, God, or whether we feel like we're doing really well, God, your love is the same for all of us. And I pray that just as a church that we would have this kind of unity that we see here in this passage, because, you know, we're all recipients of your grace and love, God. So thank you, Lord. Let's turn to our community prayer focus. Let's pray for our church members and family members. Let's pray for those that are going through cancer, recovering from a serious surgery, or going through chemo and radiation therapy. Let's pray for God's healing to come. Let's pray for strength. Let's pray fervently. Let's pray with faith and with love for our friends on this list. Let's pray together. Let's go to the second slide. Let's pray for those of us that we're praying for that need healing but also salvation. Let's just pray that God will move in this in their lives and God will reveal himself to them. Let's pray for them. Go to the third slide. Let's pray for just various infirmities that our church members and family members are struggling with. Let's just pray for healing and encouragement for them. And continue to pray for Pastor Sam and his shoulder surgery recovery. So let's just lift up those that are on the list here. Go to our fourth slide. Let's pray for those that are looking for a job. Let's pray for breakthrough for them. Let's pray for direction for them. Pray that they won't be discouraged in any way. They'll be able to hear from the Lord in this time. So let's pray. Go to our Saturday slide. Let's pray for our mission focus, Indonesia and Singapore. Let's pray for our Febe ministry and the Kupang church that we visit on our annual mission trip. And let's pray for SB Singapore. Let's pray for God to really move in these ministries. Pray for the education ministries, Noah's Ark, our children's ministry, SP Youth, your youth group, and SP, our college ministry. Let's pray for the leaders, and let's pray especially for Noah's Ark as they are transitioning with Pastor Carol being gone. So let's pray for just God's hand upon especially our children's ministry. But let's pray for all the education ministries. Let's pray for SP 2.0. We know that this isn't our permanent home, that there is something else in the future. We don't know when or where, but we've gotten some prophetic words about donors that will be able to really provide this building. And let's just pray for God's leadership in that, and let's pray that our church would just really be led by the Lord in this endeavor. So let's pray for SB 2.0. Let's pray. Let's pray for our weekend activities. There is Growing in Christ class on Saturdays, and there is EMP Bible study led by Jackie and some of the other leaders. Let's pray for that. Pray for our Sunday service tomorrow, that it'll be a powerful time. Pastor Sam is preaching, and he's starting the series on generosity. Let's pray for Noah's Ark. Pray for the worship team. I'll be leading worship. Pray for the hospitality team, our welcoming team, our barista team. Pray for SP Youth. We also have a meeting on Sunday morning. And Yahweh, they're at the retreat, so let's really pray for them that they'll have an amazing time. They had an incredible time last night here, and they're leaving for the retreat today, coming back on Sunday afternoon. So let's pray for Yahweh that it'll be an amazing time, and just all the meetings that's going to happen. So let's pray together. Pray for the prison outreach that happens on Saturdays. I don't know if it happens today, but let's just pray for that outreach, that it'll be really powerful when they do go out, that it'll be a really meaningful time. Let's pray for our prison outreach. Let's pray for our Saturday house churches. Let's pray for Robinson Bay, Mawan, and MacDaddy to have a really nice time, really filled with the Holy Spirit, and just an enjoyable, meaningful time together. Let's pray for our house churches. We can just pray for Pastor Hyunsu. He is actually in Beijing for the weekend. He's preaching at the SP Beijing retreat. So let's pray for Pastor Hyunsu. He's not on the list, but let's pray for him and Chloe, that they'll just have an amazing time at the retreat, and God will anoint him to speak God's prophetic word. And there's a few people from the Cascade and the Well Ministry that's there. So let's pray that it'll be an incredible time. Lastly, if you're around Marcus, if you don't mind just reaching out to him, and his wedding is later on today, so such an exciting time, but he said he's a little nervous, but let's just pray that it'll be an amazing time, and just the presence of God will be so powerful at the ceremony, the pleasure of God and everything. So let's pray for Marcus and Audrey and the wedding today. Father God, we thank you. We thank you so much for your love for us, and thank you for your presence. And help us just to come before you and meet with you and dialogue with you as we pray and spend some time on our own. And throughout the day, God, help us to think about you and help us to hear from you. Help us to bring pleasure to your heart, God, through what we do. And just want to really pray for Marcus and Audrey and their wedding today, that it'll be such a beautiful time. We know that your pleasure is over them, God. We know that your presence will be there and that it'll be a beautiful time. So we thank you for that in advance. And we just pray for a very smooth service, Lord, and just a real beautiful time, God. And be with the couple and everyone involved. May they not be nervous, but Lord, may they really take in and enjoy every single moment of this day. And just bless them, God. Thank you, Lord. We love you. And in Jesus' name we pray.